The Game 6 edition of Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden, from Orlando, from the ships at sea, satellite radio, terrestrial radio, you name it, wherever you are, we're here with you. Our conversation with the head coach in the Zoom Where It Happens, brought to you by Star Markets, just for you, digital app, earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas, download the Star Market mobile app, or visit starmarket.com. I know you just got asked about it. I want to start with the fact that everyone who coaches has a lot on their mind. I can't imagine an NFL head coach and the things that go into the coaching week in football. And when the Patriots game was over today and Bill Belichick had his post-game press conference, it wasn't like he was asked a question about it. He went out of his way to say, hey, before you guys go, I want to say good luck to the Celtics and to Brad. And that's just a really nice feeling to know he was, you know, he had that sort of front and center of his mind.
Yeah, he's been really good to us. He spoke to us right before the Philly series to kick off the playoffs, and I thought it was terrific. Just all the things that he said made so much sense and applied so directly to what we were trying to accomplish. And those guys have been great via text and communicating during this whole run. So it's a unique time that they're in their third regular season game and we're deep into the playoffs. Usually, you know, we're in, you know, getting ready for the All-Star break and they're preparing for the Super Bowl. It's just a different time to be thinking about it, but we appreciate all their support.
Have you seen that change over the last decade plus with coaches from other sports? I mean, I've gone to broadcast other sports and had other coaches ask me for your number or how to get in touch, you know, hockey coaches, whatever. And you wouldn't, that was something that didn't happen when I first started doing this 20 years ago. That wasn't happening. But now it just seems it's sort of reaching across the aisle to different coaching philosophies through different sports.
You know, I don't know when that started or how long that's been going on. I do know my time in Indianapolis when Coach Dungy and Coach Caldwell were coaching the Colts, they were great to me, even when I was an assistant. And, you know, certainly then coming here, it's been great to get to know all the coaches. I mean, there was this period of time right before we started or right in the middle of the seeding games where, you know, I talked to Bruce, Ron, and Bill all within a couple of days. You know, and I just think that, you know, it's a great, we all have shared experiences that are probably more similar than different. You know, even though our sports are different, I think just all that comes with this task, I think we all have an appreciation for what the other's going through.
I wonder if one of the things that translates to all the different sports is struggles on one end of the floor leading to struggles on the other end of the floor, or vice versa. And I was trying to explain to somebody who doesn't really follow sports that much, how if two teams are evenly matched, a basketball game doesn't go 2-2, 4-4, 6-6, 8-8. And the reason that there are runs is because those two things, and I think we've seen it so much in this series, and it was so on display in the third quarter, the connection between the two ends of the floor.
Also why the transitive property doesn't work in basketball, right?
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, I think it's all about what's happening in that moment, in that game. I had a Division III coach who I didn't play for, but I knew well, say, you're good if you play good. And boy, is that true. Like, you're good if you play good in that moment for those 48 minutes. That's all that we evaluated on. You know, it's not what you're capable of. It's not what you did last Friday. It's not what you did 3 months ago. It's not what somebody tells you you can do. It's what you do. And I think that there's some direct, brutal honesty in the game. And the game tells the truth on how it went for both sides at the end of the game.
You were asked right after the game on Friday if you just, you know, sort of felt shots weren't falling in the first half. And that was, it was kind of like a, I don't want to say a standard answer, but when you watched it over again, and even, you know, what you actually say, what you actually think don't always have to be the same thing. It really felt like it was more than that in watching it. And it felt like there was, the effort was certainly there, but it felt like something was certainly missing that wasn't at halftime. It wasn't just missing shots, right? There was something else.
First 15 to 20 possessions weren't very good. I mean, I just think there were too many settles. You know, we talk all the time. There's a difference between good threes, right? Aggressive threes and settles. And I think if you start settling for jump shots, and sometimes you see this when you make a bunch of jump shots early, you kind of settle in and then it comes back to haunt you later on. I do think that we finally started cutting. We finally started screening. We got more action off the ball the other night than we have multiple games. And that allowed us then to get better shots, and mostly at the rim and at the foul line. So those are things that we need to continue to do. Then the rim looks a little bit bigger. I guess that's not the case for those guys. The rim always looks big to those guys. Man, some of those shots Hero and Duncan Robinson have hit these last two games have been amazing.
And obviously you think at some point that's going to happen again, and it's, you know, how you respond. There were a couple of guys, you know, the rotation of the bigs has gotten a lot of attention. You got a lot of questions about it. I thought, first of all, Max and I both thought, even though his effort was good in the first half, what we just talked about, I thought was best exemplified by the Daniel Tice game on Friday night in between the first half and the second half, and that the effort was there in the first half. But man, he had, like he did in game five against Toronto when he probably had the game of his life. There's just, it's a, when he plays at that level, it just feels like everything locks into place.
He was really good. And I thought Kanter gave us a chance, right? Like, so Kanter scored it, gave us a chance, almost had to apologize to him. I probably left him in too long after that stint. But then I thought when Daniel came back in, he did all the little things, especially defensively, that got us going. You know, I think he just, the energy of the defense followed suit on the other end.
Was what Kanter gave you, this is what Max and I talked about during the game as it was happening, because there are, he is a player who does some things very well and some things not so well, but in sort of softening up their zone, did he play a role in throwing some body punches that had effect later in the game, even when he wasn't in?
They weren't playing zone when he was in. And I think that they, what they do is they, what it does is they have to make a decision on the pick and roll, whether they want to switch it or not. When they switched it, he sealed it. We got a couple of layups. He got a couple of layups behind the action. He's just a, got great touch in there. But, you know, on the other end, they're gonna put him in a lot of actions. And they did that. And he did a pretty good job of handling those, especially early on in that quarter. Got us back in the game, gave us a puncher's chance at halftime, and then we came out and we played much better. And so that's sometimes what you have to do, right? You have to navigate through those tough parts of the game, because as you said, it doesn't always go exactly to script.
One of the sort of realities of the world in which we live, and the way the increasing strategy in sports media that fans consume, is to talk about the things that went wrong. The national shows this time of year talk about the team that lost the next day, not the team that won. And that's sort of the way it goes. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion here in Boston when Kemba went through his little, you know, thing a couple of weeks ago when he was struggling. First halves of Jason Tatum and Daniel Tice had a rough game four. Everybody was kind of on him. And it occurred to me that no one in Boston has talked at all about Jaylen Brown, because by that standard, he is not giving them the chance with this 2-3 month run he has had to have those conversations.
I can just, I was laughing, thinking about like writing down the notes of, oh, New England won 36-20, but a safety gave up something, you know, like, oh, did you see that holding
ball
in the second quarter? Yeah. Sometimes the other teams out there too, credit is deserved by the, you know, by the other guys. I do think Jaylen's played great, but Jaylen's had his moments too. And, but he's been very consistent, very competitive. I just think like you know what you're getting every night from Jaylen. He has a great way about his preparation. Again, I think that we've all under-discussed his competitiveness over time. But yeah, he's had a great fourth year in the league, and we hope it continues.
That's the head coach. About 10 years ago, you were living in Indianapolis. You used to push your kids on the swing at the playground with one of the other dads who lived there. And it's always nice when you can stay in touch over the years with, you know, with guys like that and have those bonds. But that other dad just coached his team into the NBA Finals last night. Was that a text from you, or you just run into him in the elevator? Or
yeah, or no, I'm happy for him. He's done a great job. Obviously, that's a bitter rival, right, the Lakers. But I think to know where Frank was, you know, after Orlando, and to spend a lot of time with him and know how great of a coach he is, know how great of a person he is, that it does make you feel really good. It's a great reminder that just to kind of keep your head up if things aren't going real well, because he did exactly that. And then, you know, now he's getting ready to coach in the NBA Finals. I think he's probably rooting for us so that our series extends so he can go golfing this week.
That sounds like, having known Frank for 20 years, that sounds exactly right. Well, let's find out if that's going to play out. Game six next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.